the answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies, Can We Talk starts now.
Well, good evening and welcome to Ladies, Can We Talk? This is Debbie Georgiadis, and as I say every week, this is the happiest, funnest, and shortest 2 hours of my week. Every week, I love doing the Ladies, Can We Talk show, and I love talking with you and all of our listeners about America, and that's what Ladies, Can We Talk is all about. We're dedicated to speaking about the goodness and greatness of America, kind of all the building blocks that made America great, and we say every week, all issues are women's issues, and we have a great show lined up this week. First, I want to mention that we have a caller coming in at this first hour, at the 6:15 hour, and her name is Anne Corcoran, and she is the author of a book called Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America. And she is really one of the preeminent experts in America on the subject of the UN Refugee Resettlement Program. And she's going to be come to many people's attention recently because Congressman Trey Gowdy is now actually inquiring at the Secretary of State, demanding that the Department of State explain to him why certain refugees are being relocated to his district in South Carolina, Spartanburg. And the larger question of what is the UN Refugee Resettlement Program, how many people does it bring to America every year? And really the most important question is, why are we now bringing so many people here who are from countries unfriendly to America? And why have we Americans ceded the right to choose which refugees come here to the United Nations? So we have it's a big brewing story. And in fact, I'll tell you that you'll hear from Anne Corcoran in a few minutes that we have in North Texas, in fact, right in the Dallas area, a very significant population of people who are UN refugees. It's a huge thing to understand and know about. So she'll be on with us at 6:15, so in like 15 minutes or a little less than that. And then at the top of the second hour, we have a woman calling in named Brooke Rollins. She will be on with us for just the first 15 minutes, the second hour. She is the president and CEO of the Texas Public Policy Foundation. She's also, it would take a long time if I listed for you all of the awards that she and the Texas Public Policy Foundation have received. It is truly, without any exaggeration, the premier conservative state-based think tank in America. Her insights, her she's kind of ahead of the curve on so many issues, creating new, they call them centers within the Texas Public Policy Foundation. They come up with conservative solutions to a broad array of issues, and then they actually work actively to bring those solutions to the challenges that Texas faces, bring them directly to the legislature in Texas, specifically pushing or urging for certain legislation, and they are extremely well-respected in the Texas legislature, especially by the conservatives. They spend the whole session just being activists, and as many of you probably know, the Texas legislature, we are blessed to report, only meets for 6 months every other year. So we've just completed the 84th Texas legislative session just this past Monday. It was completed. And so we're going to talk and just find out what Brooke thinks about what happened in that session, what things that the Public Policy Foundation supported got through and what didn't, and hear her perspective on what has to happen next or her top issues. So she's just a truly sparkling presence and a brilliant thinker, and we're very honored to have her on the show. Well, in this first segment, before we get to speaking to Anne Corcoran right after our first break, I try in this first segment to have kind of my dialogue with America. I try to hit on one or so points that really get to the heart of why I wrote my book, Ladies, Can We Talk?, why I do the radio show, why I do talks, every chance I do I do a lot of public speaking. It's all about the idea that we live in the most precious country in the world. It is the country that still, and for at least 100 years, people who are repressed around the world want to come to. They want to come here for our freedom, our opportunity, our liberty, our orderly society, our security. And so America is the most exceptional country on earth. And the question for all of us is, and what I talked about in my book and my talks is, why is it? What are the ingredients in the secret sauce that is America? Or what are the building blocks that made America great? Because we actually can live our entire lives enjoying America's goodness and not really knowing where that stability, opportunity, abundance, security came from. So I try to identify those in many different stories. We talk about the day's current events. I try to identify those to urge all of us to re-embrace the love of America, to recognize the importance of these particular all the pieces that made America great. And today, tonight, I just want to mention, you know, yesterday we all observed, I believe it was the 71st anniversary of the, the D-Day invasion, the climbing the cliffs of Normandy. And what I wanted to say about that is this: this show and many conservative shows regularly honor our military. We honor every holiday related to the service of our military, Veterans Day, and all the holidays that celebrate America's service. I always say about them, we can never be grateful enough for our military, our men and women who serve America, who served America in the past, those who come home injured, those who don't come home at all, their families. We can never be grateful enough. What we on the home front in America can do and must do and just must feel compelled to do is our part in preserving America. We are not, the vast majority of us do not go over and risk bombs and bullets. We're on the home front, and what we can do to defend and protect America is to protect the precious idea of what America is, to protect all these building blocks that we talk about, or the ingredients and the secret sauce that is America. Our job, our battle, is in the battle of ideas to protect and preserve America. And when you think about what America was founded on, it was a battle of ideas at the beginning of the founding of America. I mean, we had people who wanted to stop King George's tyranny, and we had people talking about the rights of man, and we finally had a Declaration of Independence, the single most important document in all of world history after the Bible, the Declaration of Independence, the thing that spells out the idea that we as individuals, as people, simply because we were born, have inalienable rights from God. That was a precious idea the founders put in the Declaration, and after we had the Revolutionary War, they worked very, very hard to set up a country that allowed this preservation of the rights of the individual. It was based on the thinking in the scriptures and in the Jewish scriptures, the Christian scriptures, that those are the source of law in America, the source of the thinking among those who set up our country. And that battle of ideas back then created a country premised on the rights in the Declaration, premised on the Constitution. The Constitution was structured specifically to prevent tyranny, to limit the power of the government, to invest the power in we the people, to be sure we didn't have another tyranny develop in America like the tyranny the colonists had when they had King George, like the tyranny that most people still in the world today, or many people at least, live under. So, to honor D-Day, to honor our veterans, our job is to defend and protect every idea that makes America secure and safe. And that includes, I'm going to tell you a few quick examples right now. You all have heard many arguments about how the president, President Obama, has taken dozens of actions that he has no constitutional authority to take. He has, in the arena of immigration and in amnesty, issued orders he's acknowledged he had no constitutional authority to take, but he did it anyway. He has, under Obamacare, done that same thing, exempted people, changed the law when he wanted to. And all of this, if you are an advocate for every single thing that President Obama believes in, if you're an advocate for every view he has politically, you should still be demanding that he stop these unconstitutional actions, because going back to the founding of America, the idea of the Constitution was to prevent the development of a tyrant, prevent the development of a dictator. And when you have a president who is acting outside of his authority in the Constitution, not just once and not just a tiny bit, but repeatedly, in your face to the American people, in your face to Congress, and we don't stop it, we're saying we're really okay with kind of cutting away at or chipping away at the goodness and greatness of America. We want our personal agenda, our personal beliefs about whatever political issue there is, more than we want to honor America. That is, that decision that you're kind of okay with what he's doing is saying, I care more about my agenda than I do about America, than I do about security, than I do about stability, than I do about our precious country. That is dishonoring our veterans, is dishonoring those precious men who lost their lives on D-Day, those precious Americans who fight today. If you don't honor all of the structure of what America is supposed to be. I want to mention one more example. There are many I could be mentioning, and I'm getting up to where I've got to go off to a break, but we have a tremendous growth in the size and power and scope of the federal government running the healthcare system. They have no business running the healthcare system. We have an expanding federal government in taxes and spending, in just control of everyday life, taking more and more control over the education system and the healthcare system. This is antithetical to the idea of the founding of a limited federal government. And that's another way to honor the veterans, another way to honor the people who have given their lives, who are fighting today, is to say, I am going to stand up for what America is supposed to be. And I'm going to stand for every idea that underlies it, including the rule of law. I'm going to stand for that. I'm going to speak out when it is violated. That's the way we can honor the veterans. And so I in honoring D-Day, thank you to every family who suffered, lost family members back on that horrible day. Thank you all the veterans and the fighters today. And as I say, the bottom line in honoring our veterans is to honor the idea of America, because that's what the veterans were always fighting for, is America, American-style liberty, American-style freedom. Okay, so we're a little bit long. We're heading up to a break right now. But this is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk? And we're on for next hour and 45 minutes. And right after our break coming up, we'll be hearing from Ann Corcoran, the author of a book, which we're going to be talking with her about, called Refugee Resettlement. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. And come on back after our break.
AM, The Answer. Dennis Prager believes you must think about your kids first.
I can't really put myself in a place of, if my father had become a woman, how I would have reacted. Or for that matter, the thought on my children, if I became a woman. There's a lot more in life than my happiness.
I'm not saying he shouldn't have done it.
But there was a lot more in life than my own pursuit of happiness.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey folks, Mike Krejci here, sales manager of 660 AM, The Answer. If you are a business owner, I want to talk specifically to you. If you were listening to our station over the last few days, you'll know that we've been supporting one of our favorite charities, Cure International, by offering our business benefactor program. We've had some terrific businesses step up to support the cause, but we need a few more to join in. We are trying to heal kids in Haiti who were born with a condition known as clubfoot. Your gift will help heal a child so they can run, dance, and play, and have a chance at a normal life. 100% of this gift goes to help these children. Here's how the Business Benefactor Program works. Your business donates $2,800 to Cure International, and in exchange you'll get an advertising campaign to run on 660 AM The Answer during the next 90 days absolutely free. So you'll be helping your business and these kids all at the same time. Call me today to get started. My number is 214-561-9103. That's 214-561-9103. One more time, 214-561-9103. Thank you.
Hi, this is Debbie Georgiadis. You know, ladies, most of us are pretty good at talking about lots of things, and I want to encourage us to talk more about America's future. Most Americans say that they're concerned about the direction of our country, but feel that they don't know what to do to help and that they're not really informed enough to speak up. Well, here are two ways you can help America. Get involved in organizations that are standing up for liberty and America. Also, speak up more in your daily lives about the goodness of America and the American people, because political opinion is shaped not only by politicians, but by the conversations in our daily lives among friends, colleagues, and in schools, neighborhood, and church organizations, and literally thousands of other day-to-day interactions. Tune in to Ladies Can We Talk Sundays at 7 a.m., and I'll explain more. Speak up for America.
Ask any of the members and mentors here at Lifestyles Unlimited, the real estate education and mentor group, and they will tell you. It's not how smart you are or how long and how hard you work. It's whether you're on the right map to begin with. Can what you are doing or has what you are doing ever taken you to the financial position that you want to be in? Whether you just started thinking about investing in real estate or consider yourself a seasoned pro, Lifestyles Unlimited provides the support necessary to take you to the next level. Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com and explore our website to discover how you can begin or advance your real estate investing career.
Clean up with deals on top quality hardwood floors from Lumber Liquidators. Tired of that old carpet? Replace it with stylish and affordable hardwood, like 5-inch pre-finished oak for just 99 cents. It's easier to clean than carpet, and this week we've got it for less than half of what you'd pay at other stores. Or get easy to install click strand bamboo for $249. It's two times harder than oak, and now it's 42% less. Plus, laminate and more from 49 cents and 18-month special financing. Now is the time to roll up that dingy carpet and lay down a quality hardwood floor. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
It's hot enough to fry an egg on a garbage can lid. You're watering your plants to help them survive, but don't stop there. They need Miracle-Gro to help them dazzle when it sizzles. A summer feeding makes roots stronger, so they resist summer stress better. Blooms last longer, too. Remember, don't just water your plants. They need to eat in the heat. Skip the fried eggs, but don't skip the summer feeding. Miracle-Gro. Life starts here.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. I thank you so very much for tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk, where all issues are women's issues, and we speak up for America. And I'm speaking right now. We have a call-in guest tonight I mentioned in our opening segment named Ann Corcoran. Hello.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're on with us. I thank you very much. I mentioned to our listeners that you are the author of Refugee Resettlement, and I want to ask you how to pronounce H-I-J-R-A. Is it Hijra?
Hijra.
Hijra to America. And I have both looked at, read your book, and also I looked at what you sent me earlier today on this Refugee Resettlement Watch. And I told our listeners, and I'll tell you again, we're speaking with Ann Corcoran, who is one of the premier experts in America on the program the United Nations has for refugee resettlement and its impact on America. And actually, Ann, I thought your story of why you got interested in this issue, which I read in your book, can you quick tell our listeners how you got involved in studying this issue?
Yeah, sure. I was basically just raising my family and minding my business, living on a farm in Western Maryland. And we live in a very rural county and a very conservative county. And much to my surprise, in 2007, my girlfriends and I discovered that the Virginia Council of Churches was bringing refugees into Hagerstown, Maryland, our county seat. And the refugees, about 100 of them, were Meshkedi and Turks, which are Turkish people who'd been living in Russia. Russia didn't want them, but the United States took thousands of them, and about 100 came to Washington County, Maryland. I simply wanted to know, what's the governmental process that allows this to happen, that a Virginia quote-unquote church group could bring refugees to another county in another state and virtually drop them off? And I've spent the last 8 years investigating this problem. I got so fascinated by it. I work at it almost every day.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you do. And the book that you've written is just really, you know, I'll tell you, I urge everyone to get it. I ordered it off of Amazon. And it is, again, Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America. I think this issue is coming to the American people's attention a lot recently because Congressman Trey Gowdy of South Carolina has discovered that there is a refugee relocation into one of the towns in his district, cities in his district, Spartanburg, South Carolina. And he's asking the same questions you were, which is, why are they coming here again? And, you know, I'm glad that he's doing that. He's making a national message about it. But your book and your research on this refugee resettlement, it started out kind of innocently, right, in 1980, this idea of refugee resettlement here?
Yes, right. Well, I guess as innocent as Ted Kennedy can make anything be.
Good point.
The Ted Kennedy was the chief sponsor of the Refugee Act of 1980. Joe Biden was one of the sponsors. Then Senator Joe Biden was one of the co-sponsors of the bill, and it was signed into law by Jimmy Carter. Prior to that, let me just say very briefly, people may remember, some of your listeners may remember, the Vietnamese coming and being taken care of by churches, individual churches, who took care of them not on the government's dime prior to 1980. But in 1980, the whole system was changed over to create the present system, which is a federal contracting system, and there are 9 major contractors that and 350 subcontractors that resettle refugees around the country. The United Nations picks the refugees, or the majority of the refugees. They're supposed to be screened when they come in, but the question remains, how do you screen someone from Somalia or Syria when they come from failed states and there's no records on who they are? And that's something that people should be concerned about. Yeah, started out innocently, sort of innocently.
We know, yeah, sort of innocently. But jumping to present time, because I want to be sure our listeners hear a lot of what you have uncovered in your research and in your writing on this. And I guess I also want to give you a chance before we get sidetracked by it to mention your website. If you could let them know about your website.
Yeah, sure. I've been writing this blog ever since this month, June 2007, is when I created this blog. And keep in mind, I have had zero technical abilities on the computer. But a friend told me to put everything I was researching onto a blog so that other people could read it and I would keep it cataloged. And so I've been doing that ever since. It's Refugee Resettlement Watch, and people need only Google it because it's been around so long, it'll be the first thing that comes up. So basically what I have done, which I want to just emphasize everybody can do, pick some little thing and research it and put it out there, because we don't have real investigative reporters anymore in America, but you can be the investigative reporter. And that's sort of what I've become over these years.
That is such a great point about being an investigative reporter. It's kind of what one of Breitbart's points was, you know, that Andrew Breitbart, who urged people, get out there with your, you know, he wasn't like Clinton, I mean, like President Obama with your pen and your phone. He was like, get out there with your video camera and your curiosity and your tenacity and get after these things and record what's really happening. But so I think obviously right now, because we're involved, we're watching what's happening in the Middle East with ISIS, and we're watching the just growing concern around the world for the violence of radical Islam. With respect to the UN Refugee Resettlement Program, I think people are rightfully asking, who's coming here? Are there people who are Muslim who are coming here? In what numbers? Who's vetting them? I mean, tell us where we are today on that subject. We clearly have people coming to America in this refugee resettlement program who are coming from hostile Muslim countries. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Let me just mention about the word Hijra. Hijra is the Islamic doctrine of immigration. Muhammad told his followers that they must migrate, that it's a form of jihad, and that's exactly what they're doing to spread out across the world and create a new Muslim caliphate across the world. So that's the concept behind the Hijra. It's not something we made up. And so basically, again, the United Nations is picking the refugees. Right now, the largest number of refugees we're taking are from Iraq, and we've taken about 120,000 since 2008. A majority of those, 60% to 70%, are Muslims. We are taking Somalis at the rate of 700 a month right now. We have totally, in the last 2 decades, we've taken over 120,000 Somalis into the United States, and they're still, as I say, coming in at the rate of 700 to 800 a month into the country. The biggest, of course, numbers of them are in Minnesota, which many of your listeners may have heard some of the problems with the young Somalis growing up in America and thumbing their nose at the good life we gave them on our tax dollars and going back to fight with either al-Shabaab in Africa or with ISIS in the Middle East. The next big push is for Syrians, and I really want to emphasize this. This is something that everybody can get involved with right now and just say no. The United Nations has picked 11,000 Syrians right now in a pipeline to them. They're already ready to come to America. We've taken a small number, less than 1,000, and of the less than 1,000, 92%, because I dig into the State Department databases, 92% are Muslims. We are not in any way taking any large numbers of the persecuted Christians from Syria. And then just last week, or the week before last, 14 U.S. senators have asked President Obama to do an emergency declaration and bring in 65,000 Syrians before the end of his term in office. And that's an astronomical number.
You know, I have to ask about that. First of all, I said, I think in the last segment before you were on, but I'm understanding now that the United States, even if previously we used to have control over which refugees came to America, right now the United Nations is choosing the refugees that who come here to America, and we don't really have a say in that. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate. The majority. Now, there may be a few around the edges where we bring in a few hundred here and there that have become a problem in some parts of the world. But the United Nations dictates which ethnic groups are the ones that we're going to be bringing in. Now, I don't want to leave your listeners with the concept that it's all Muslim. We are bringing in, we have brought in about 80,000 Hindus from Bhutan in just the last 5 or 6 years. And then some people might ask, well, where are they all working? And that's a good question. One of the driving forces behind that is the large industries like meat packing. Meat packers are really big on this immigrant labor. So that's one of the driving forces behind this program. And so we do bring in other groups. We brought in tens of thousands of Burmese Christians persecuted in Burma. The other name for that country is Myanmar. But we're also in that bunch. We've brought about 12,000 Muslims from Burma in the last 10 years. So we are bringing Christians too, but I want to ask everybody why anybody would think that it is our best interest to be bringing in literally tens of thousands of Muslims every year in this program. And then the other part of this, which we haven't even talked about and we should, is the fact that they are then eligible for all forms of welfare the minute they get into this country. And believe me, they're using it.
You know, we are actually at a point, it'd be a great time. I'm hoping you can stay with me through the break and come back. Is that right, Ann?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, we're up against our kind of half-hour break. We're speaking right now with Ann Corcoran, and she's the author of Refugee Resettlement, which relates to the United Nations Resettlement Program. This is a really vital, important subject to understand, so please stay with us and come back after the break. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show.
Mornings 7 to 10
on 660 AM. The Answer.
Are you ready to experience Israel?
Every once in a while, an opportunity to do something truly special comes along. An opportunity for an unforgettable and timely expedition to the land of Israel. This year, be a part of the Stand With Israel Tour. Spend 9 days this fall in the fascinating and dramatic land of Israel with Mike Gallagher and Dennis Prager. Enjoy first-class accommodations and meals in comfort and safety. Visit 660amtheanswer.com for all the details and to register now. That's 660amtheanswer.com.
Abolish the IRS. Well, sounds like a pipe dream, a phony rallying cry that politicians love to use, but they never act on it. But really, hasn't the time come to get serious about abolishing the IRS and replacing our convoluted income tax code with something like a fair tax or flat tax? Common sense is starting to scream from the rooftops. The way the IRS has behaved in targeting conservatives, stonewalling congressional investigations, having lead IRS officials taking the fifth, and generally conveying a mind-blowing, out-of-control arrogance, says it's time to shut down this government agency. This kind of action is what is known as taking back our country. Debbie Georgiadis here, your host on Ladies Can We Talk, from Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. On my show, we talk truth about America, and we talk about what can be done to truly take back the country. I hope you'll join me in the fight.
Hi, this is John David Wells from the Wells Report with Walt Parker here from InvestingMakesMeSick.com. Walt, I was looking at your new website. I've got to admit, I'm impressed.
We keep telling people there's more to investing than just stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and annuities. Our new website is full of information about these alternative investments. You need to understand your investments. We also provide our We Come to You service and spend the time necessary to help people know they have other options than just stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and annuities. Website is great, but nothing beats a face-to-face discussion to help you with your investment decisions.
Most people say they listen to your ads for 2 years before calling. Don't wait 2 years. Call Walt right now, 972-463-3833. That's 972-463-3833, or visit their new website at investingmakesmesick.com.
All investments involve risk. Investments may be considered speculative and incur substantial fees and expenses borne by the investor. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Titan Securities. InvestingMakesMeSick.com and Titan Securities are not affiliated.
We are visiting our friend Chef Tom Fleming at Crossroads Diner. What do you have cooking today, Tom?
Let me ask you a question. Where you been getting your fried yard bird on lately? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, it's fried chicken. Well, at the diner, we do it a little bit different. Hand-pounded, hand-breaded, fried to order, and it comes with the best smooth, warm, creamy brie cheese. And then we top it with, oh my God, I can't even believe this, a tomato caper relish that is just out of this world. So if you've been eating fried yard bird somewhere else, come by the Crossroads Diner, because my yard bird's the best.
Fresh ingredients sure to please any sophisticated palate and taste at affordable diner prices in a casual environment. Crossroads Diner. Come eat with us. We're off of Walnut Hill, just east of 75. Open for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or visit us on the web at crossroads-diner.com. Homestyle goodness meets traditional diner. Great recipes, fresh ingredients, comfortable environment, and genuine hospitality are the heart and soul of Crossroads Diner. We'll be waiting for you.
Now that Rite Aid has joined the Plenty program, Wellness Plus is even more rewarding because now you get a second easy way to save. That's right. On top of the amazing values you enjoy with Wellness Plus points, your new card gives you Plenty points, which can be earned in one place and used for savings in another. Earn and use your Plenty points at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon, and Mobil, and other participating partners. It's even more of the value you love. It's Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your new card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
You can listen on the go. Find us on iHeartRadio. 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. Just love that you've tuned in to this fastest hours, 2 hours in a week every week. We are speaking with Ann Corcoran, the author of Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America. And right before our break, Ann, you made mention of something I was going to go to myself. I'm glad you mentioned it. The idea that this relocation of tens of thousands, in fact, it's going to end up being is hundreds of thousands, ultimately, people to America through the United Nations Refugee Resettlement Project. Those people who come here are immediately, once they're designated a refugee, they're immediately eligible for welfare benefits. So are they using them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Every year, the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement puts out a report to tell what percentage of refugees are using what. And for example, food stamps, the only one I can remember off the top of my head, about 80% of the refugees are using food stamps. They also get subsidized housing where they live. They get some cash assistance. Of course, they get Medicaid. And one of the most expensive aspects and one of the things people find most challenging when refugees come in large numbers is the impact on the school system, which is clearly something paid for by local taxpayers. Let me just mention to your listeners, though, the basic structure. As we said, the UN picks them, the U.S. State Department brings them in, U.S. Department of Homeland Security is supposed to screen them if they can figure out who these people are. And then they're divided up between these nine major contractors, which I think I'd like to name a few if I could. I think your readers, your listeners may be quite shocked to hear that they include the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, which is 98% funded by the taxpayer for its migration fund, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, Episcopal Migration Ministries, World Relief, which is Evangelicals, Church World Service, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and then there's three other secular agencies. Under them are 350 subcontractors in 190-plus cities. So the refugees come in, they're divvied up between these various subcontractors, and they're sent out to quote-unquote welcoming cities. And the job of the contractor is to get them hooked up with their welfare, get the kids enrolled in school, and within 3 to 6 months, they move on to the next batch of refugees coming in, often the relatives of the first group, and the contractor is paid by the head to resettle the refugees. So once a contractor is set up in your town and they are spreading rapidly now across the United States, it's very hard to unlodge this because they have offices to rent and staff to pay, and they get paid by the head for refugees. So there's never incentive to slow the flow.
That makes it sound much more mercenary than, you know, the concept of refugee used to be, the kind of not romanticized, but just kind of compassionate concept was, these are people truly victimized in their home countries. They have no way to live safely where they are. So we need to bring them here because we are America and we try to protect everyone. We welcome everyone. But it sounds like actually our goodness and our kindness is kind of being taken advantage of, not just by the refugees who come here and then essentially live off our system, but really these sponsoring organizations, maybe they have a noble purpose, but it's sounding almost mercenary in that once they have a per head dollar that's paid and they've got the people settled, it's not an ongoing let us care for you and integrate you into American culture. It is moving on to the next group.
That's exactly right. And let me just say, we should all have some sympathy for truly persecuted people in the world. That is one of the hallmarks of being Americans. But the question now becomes is how many can the United States take in? We are taking in now half of the resettled refugees in the world, not half of those people who are refugees, but half who are resettled. The United States takes in half of them. That's how we get to this 65,000 Syrian number. The UN wants the Western countries to take 130,000 Syrians, and they say the United States half is 65,000, and we should take those Syrians in. So, you can't blame the refugees, you know, and none of us want to blame the refugees. They're just taking advantage of a good thing. The problem with this, and here's my big problem, A, is that the country does not understand how these quote-unquote church groups are not passing the plate on Sunday for this program. This is federal tax dollars, and then they also pass a lot of the cost on to the state taxpayer as well. And that's why it makes it our business now to look into this whole issue.
Yeah, you know, we've talked on this show. I want to jump to another subject because I saw that you wrote about it in your book. And we've talked with Frank Gaffney. We've had him on the show a couple of times, the head of the Center for Security Policy, or now they're calling it Secure Freedom in Washington, and, you know, one of the leaders in alerting Americans to the dangers of radical Islam. One thing he talked about, and you wrote about in your book too, is this document or this concept of civilization jihad, and the idea that in the Muslim obligation in their faith is to not just spread their faith by sharing what they think is true, but by actively trying to ultimately seek a caliphate, seek one international Islamic control of the world through a caliphate. And on the steps on the way there is to turn societies to a friendlier and friendlier treatment of Islam and to convert the world. So the civilization jihad, I thought of it even before I came across it in your book, that this is a way to do that. This refugee resettlement program is a way to accomplish civilization jihad.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. You know, when you think about it, what is the one thing they need to pull off taking control of certain parts of the world? And it's people. They have to have the people in here. And so we've actually been bringing in the refugees now for two decades, especially the Somalis, and they create these enclaves. I mean, places like Minnesota, Minneapolis, they create an enclave of Somali communities. And then the other thing is, people are probably wondering about mosques. That's all part of the hijra too. When you see a mosque is going to pop up in some new neighborhood, and you're scratching your head going, why do they need a mosque there? There's only a few families. The mosque is part of the hijra. It's part of marking your territory, so to speak. In other words, they build the mosque first, and then the people come because they're supposed to live near a mosque. So if you see a mosque going up nearby and you're thinking there's not that many Muslims around here, that's actually going to be a new targeted neighborhood for more Muslims to come to the mosque. And the mosque becomes the central focus. And people don't realize that, for example, in Minnesota recently, in Minneapolis, when Somalis demanded halal food be in the community food pantry, you know, for poor people, that they have halal food in the food pantry and labeled properly so that the Somalis would know which was halal food and which isn't. That's all part of that civilizational jihad. That's all part of the Sharia of just gradually creeping in. So most people don't like think about it initially, but that is all part of it.
You know, it actually makes the cost of dealing with all these refugees resettled here kind of the least of our problems. It does matter, and should matter to the taxpayers that these sponsoring organizations are using tax dollars, and that once people come here, we're going to be happy dealing with the whole concept of, you know, whether we have to teach these kids in Arabic if they don't speak English, what we have to do about but you know, the bigger concept is the kind of spreading of cultural acceptance, not just acceptance, but it gets to dominance very quickly with respect to Muslims coming to America, and really wanting to change the kind of open and law-abiding kind of Judeo-Christian culture America has. Well, I want to jump to, they're like, I have about a couple of minutes left. I want to be sure and mention that this week, Ann Corcoran, who's our guest right now on the show, will be in Dallas. And all I tell our listeners, my email address is ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. That's my email address. If you're interested in hearing her speak this week, email me and I will let you know about that. And then separately, and I wanted to mention to our listeners, you emailed me something today about the number one resettlement state in America. And I was hoping you can tell our listeners what that state is.
Yes, it's Texas. Surprise, surprise.
Oh.
Texas is by far the number one state for resettling refugees in the United States. And it became so. I've been doing a little research. It's kind of interesting. Whenever I go to a state, I like to look into what the situation is there. And it was in 2011 that it became number one. I was very surprised to see that. Previous to that, California, New York, Florida were, you know, vying for the number one spot. Now it's Texas. And they are being distributed throughout Texas. There are some big cities. I don't know if we have time to talk about those, but we can talk about this week when I get to Dallas.
I can't wait for you to be here. I will mention, too, my thinking always goes to the political angle. You mentioned 2011 when the Democrats were really excited about the idea of turning Texas blue. I have some research, and you may have seen this, and I don't think it wasn't from your book, but it was surveying Muslims and how they tend to vote, people who are actually American citizens who are Muslims and are registered to vote. And they overwhelmingly vote Democrat. And so,
yes,
you know, the idea that you would choose Trey Gowdy's district, you would choose Louie Gohmert's district, you would choose Texas as a place to bring lots of new Muslims in a program that you're jumping right over the states, you're jumping right over local government, you're just deciding from afar in Washington, hey, here's a good spot for them. I don't like that at all. And I think it is incumbent on people to speak up about these things. We are near the end of this segment, but I want to ask you, and so tell our listeners, what is it you should do if you're concerned about this?
Well, the most important first thing you need to do is you need to get the facts where you live. You need to dig out information. And today I wrote a post for Texans on how to start, on the things you need to start digging out and get your facts. And then you need to be sure to talk to everybody you know about it. And the thing I'm telling everybody to do everywhere is you must write a blog or a website. You have to get this information out. We have a lot of great researchers in the United States looking into stuff, and then they don't ever get the information out. They send it to me. I mean, it's lost sending it all to me. People must write a blog or a website. I think it's better than a Facebook page because you can put various reports and stuff on it. In your state where you start putting out the facts to people, knowledge is power. I know it's overused, but knowledge is power.
Ann Corcoran, I thank you so very much for calling in to Ladies Can We Talk. And this is and she will be here in Dallas this week speaking. And thank you for the brilliant book you've written, Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America. As I say, it's kind of what I say to Frank Gaffney all the time. It's the best scary thing I've heard recently. So I really appreciate Well, it's good to know the truth. And thank you very, very much, Ann Corcoran, for calling in and for writing this book. And this is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. And we're going to take our last break and come on back after our break, and we'll get rolling till the 7 o'clock hour.
660 AM.
660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM,
TheAnswer.com. My fellow Americans, liberty.
Liberty.
This is your Liberty Minute.
Liberty Minute.
With Debbie Georgiadis.
American liberty includes freedom of religion and freedom of speech. But these building blocks of America are in sharp conflict with Sharia, the Islamic law, which makes church and state one and the same, and then imposes Islamic doctrine as the only law, a law which denies freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Americans are right to want to preserve American-style liberty for all Americans, and that's the idea behind ALAC, American Law for American Courts. ALAC is especially important in protecting women who otherwise could be subject to Sharia, which treats women as second-class citizens in matters such as divorce, division of property, and child custody. ALAC is a right idea for America and for Texas. Why would anyone want to deny American women American liberty? This is Debbie Georgiadis, and this was your Liberty Minute on Sharia.
Have you ever responded to a great deal on carpet cleaning only to find yourself playing let's make a deal once the crew arrived? When you made your appointment, it was all about discounts, free areas, and maybe even gift with purchase. But when the carpet cleaner arrived, it was an extra charge for this and that and lots of pressure to buy extra things you didn't want. At Doubtworth Clean, we've cleaned over a million homes since 1976, and there's a good reason we consistently have an A rating from the Better Business Bureau and win the Consumer's Choice Award year after year. Our focus is on making you happy, not making you spend more. So if the deal sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Call Doubtworth Clean instead and find out why, after almost 40 years, it's still true. The next best thing to new is Doubtworth Clean. Visit Doubtworth.com, get a free quote, make your appointment 24/7.
Call 267-8433 because the next best thing to new is Doubtworth Clean.
When you pay your mobile phone bill, are you making a political statement? Probably so. You don't even know that it's politics you might not agree with. Hey, it's Mark Davis. Major mobile companies have given more than $50 million to liberal candidates and causes. Now there's a cellular company that gives 5% to conservative causes while still saving you money. Welcome to EOS Mobile. The same service, the same quality, a better price, and a better cause. Go to EOSCell.com, EOSCELL.com. Meet a company that'll save you 10 to 15% on the same phone, data, and text plans, and their corporate contributions go to organizations and candidates for smaller government, a stronger America, and following the Constitution. Imagine that. And text and talk plans start at $9.99 with a free phone. Do you want part of your mobile phone bill to help Obama, Hillary, and that side of American politics? Great service, great prices, and support for conservative causes with EOS Mobile. Go to EOSCell.com. That's EOSCELL.com. EOSCell.com.
Hey, this is George at the Filling Station DFW. You know, I've been talking about the Filling Station quite a while now, and I want to tell you what I love about those Monday nights at the Filling Station. It's a special time when people come and sit at the feet of Jesus and then allow him to do what he does naturally. That's save, heal, deliver, and redeem. Yeah, he still does those things today. It's because he can't help himself. It's who he is. Jesus is the same as he was yesterday. He's that same God today, and he's going to be that same Jesus this coming Monday night. So whether you're a believer, non-believer, just someone trying to figure out who Jesus really is, you should come this Monday evening. It was set aside especially for you. Come meet Jesus. He's waiting for you. The Filling Station DFW meets every Monday evening at 7 p.m. at Summit Life Church. We're in Addison, Texas. Our address is 14240 Midway Road between Beltline and Spring Valley. You can get more information at the Filling Station DFW. That's the Filling Station DFW. Look forward to seeing you there.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there and welcome back. And I appreciate so much you tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk, where all issues are women's issues. And we're always trying to speak up about the goodness and what makes America exceptional, precious, and great. Honor those things. Recognize them when they are going to be impacted by ideas and legislation and policies that people come up with. Because our goal, our job in every generation and every generation in America has always had this, our job is to preserve American-style liberty, to know what it means, know what it is, and preserve it. I want to say thank you again to our guest who called in for the last half an hour, Ann Corcoran. She just was fabulous. And I hope she left you wanting to learn more. Her book, Refugee Resettlement, I got off of Amazon. It's excellent. And it is actually not a huge long read either. My book, Ladies, Can We Talk, is really serious and is a very friendly read, but it's real substantive and a little longer than this book. So I urge you to get through this book quickly and you'll feel so much better, more informed. We only have a few minutes until we get up to our 7 o'clock hour. And I do at this point in the show, usually my cruise through the news, try to talk about essentially, you know, a few issues that we can't go in much depth to, but, and so I'm struggling with the simple fact that I did want to talk with all of you tonight about the latest Clinton Foundation scandal or Bill and Hillary scandal. And it almost doesn't do it justice. It doesn't do the American people justice to talk about this in this brief time period. So I'm just going to mention it and say, I think next week I'll dedicate more time to it, but there was something going on that just came to light in the American media involving Bill Clinton and his activities in Sweden, in the country of Sweden. And the short story is this. Bill Clinton, over in Sweden, had a fundraising arm. The foundation had a fundraising arm in Sweden. It collected $26 million in donations from companies in Sweden. At the same time, the country and those companies were lobbying Hillary Clinton, who was then our Secretary of State, and those companies and Sweden itself wanted to have the Secretary of State, who was then Hillary Clinton, forego or not impose sanctions that threatened the business these companies had going with Sweden. So they, with Iran, excuse me, we are trying to stop people from dealing with Iran. So these companies that had good financial deals going in Sweden with Iran, they wanted to keep that going. They did not want to have, in the country of Sweden itself, they did not want to have Hillary or the State Department getting in their way. So they donate money to Bill Clinton, to his foundation over there, $26 million, and they're getting special favors from Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. This is a level of corruption that in any other politician, I dare say even another Democrat, couldn't get away with. No Republican would get away with this. But somehow, because this is a Hillary Clinton, and she is the heir apparent in many Democrats' thinkers' minds, and in the eyes of many in the media, she's the heir apparent to the presidency, that this stuff is just going to get whitewashed, ignored, skimmed over. But I'm telling you, this one is so bad. It is so direct. It is so overt. This money, the Swedish entity, I'm not going to try to say the name because it's some long, not English word, never disclosed to or cleared by the State Department Ethics Office, even though it's one of the largest donations, was from a Swedish government-sanctioned lottery. The money flows in from Sweden. Mrs. Clinton's Secretary of State team, Department of State team in Washington, declined to blacklist any of these Swedish firms that were doing business with Iran. Here we're trying to punish Iran and to get them to behave. And Hillary and her State Department would not stop Sweden's business with Iran. Even that after they were warned, Hillary and the State Department were warned by our own officials in Sweden, you need to stop Sweden from doing these sales with Iran. And so, if there ever was evidence of profound, deep, unmistakable corruption, it's right in our faces. And what we're saying, if we don't as a country stop this, is there simply is no rule of law as applied to Hillary Clinton. There is no rule of law as applied to Bill Clinton, that somehow they're so special and so needed to run this country that anything they do is okay. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not. And we have a Department of Justice run by partisan hacks who wouldn't think of prosecuting Hillary Clinton no matter what she did. If they can't prosecute on this, if they can't look into this, there's nothing they will ever do, no matter what Hillary Clinton does. And that's a bad day for America. It's a bad day for the rule of law. Okay, I'm only going to have another couple minutes or something before we have to go to the end. This is my cruise through the news. I want to mention just a quickie story and then tell you one other thing I found kind of amazing. The quickie story was that, you know, this Hungarian billionaire, George Soros, you know, corrupt, anti-American, anti-religious. His largest goal in life is to remove the place of religion in American society. Hates Christianity, hates religion. He is paying, he is bankrolling voter ID law challenges around America. He's like the corrupt, you know, dark force of money on the Democrat side. If there's any evil thing the Democrats want to accomplish, he's your guy. You go to him. He's bankrolling these lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of voter ID laws, which is one of those things that we've been talking in the show a little bit in the last couple weeks about this idea of gaslighting. Voter ID laws simply say, if you want to vote, you have to show a picture ID, just like you have to do to collect, to cash a check. And in just a thousand circumstances every year, we end up showing our picture ID. It is so basic, a basic tenet of having honest elections, but the left doesn't want honest elections, which is why they don't like voter ID laws. So George Soros is funding those lawsuits. And just a minor little tweak at them, there was actually, this is a couple years old, but there was a poll in June of 2014, so we're talking one year old, where even a majority of registered American black voters support voter ID. When the Democrats fight against voter ID laws, they're not trying to protect blacks. They're not trying to protect legal voters of any kind. They're trying to promote illegal voting. That's all their agenda is. That's all George Soros' agenda is. Okay, so that now we are about out of time. I want to tell you at some point in this show about this study that was done that it was exposed as actually a fraud. It's an amazing story, but we're up against it. So come back after the break for Ladies Kimmy Talk. This is Debbie Georgiatis. Come back after 7 o'clock. Even liberals claim to deplore political correctness, but talk about it as an annoying tendency, kind of like if people interrupt each other. But political correctness is actually worse than interrupting. It is shutting down very important conversations on big subjects that we need to be talking about. You may have heard about the 1,400 girls in Rotherham, England, who were molested repeatedly by Pakistani Muslim gangs for a period of 16 years. And it was known by the police, but news of it was suppressed, and the Pakistani and Muslim identity of the perpetrators was largely denied, all because of political correctness. Big issues need to be discussed, including understanding the threat of radical Islam and Sharia in America. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and on my show, Ladies, Can We Talk? Let's defy political correctness and talk about the facts.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Your local pharmacist is also a Health Mart pharmacist. And they're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed, but I was so relieved. Her Health Mart